This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The war in the former Yugoslav republics in the Balkans took place a quarter century ago, and while the atrocities perpetrated in those conflicts are known today, much about what transpired in Bosnia, Serbia, and elsewhere is still kind of shrouded in mystery.
The real-life mystery provides the backdrop for the mainly fictitious events that play out in writer Scott Turow's latest novel, Testimony, which revolves around an American prosecutor who goes to work for the International Criminal Court in The Hague to investigate the reported mass death of a group of Roma living in a Bosnian refugee camp a decade before.
Scott Turow, who is known for his novels such as Presumed Innocent and his law school memoir, 1L, will talk about the book this weekend in Milwaukee. But he joins us on the line from the Chicago area first. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Mitch. I'm glad to be with you.
I gather this story started for you with a real-life trip to the Netherlands. Is that right?
Yeah. I guess I was probably promoting a novel called Personal Injuries and ended up at a reception in The Hague. And for reasons that the novel, frankly, sets forth in detail, there are a lot of American lawyers in The Hague, and I found myself in a circle of them who worked at the International Criminal Tribunal there. And they were all going, you've got to write a book about this. You've got to write a book about this place, these cases, the back channel diplomatic stuff, the personal relationships. All amazing.
Right. That was 17 years ago, which is a long time to have something sort of sitting out there in the hopper.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were other items on the list. I had been involved in capital litigation, so eventually I decided I wanted to write a novel about the death penalty, and then I wanted to write an essay, a nonfiction book about the death penalty. I had always wanted to try to come to peace with the aspects of my father that were best represented by his record and whereabouts in World War II, so I wrote a novel about that. But I've worked my way down the list till I got to the International Criminal Court in The Hague and the Roma, who have also been an object of great curiosity for decades.
Right. So when did your interest in the Roma first come about?
This is even further back. I had a relative dying while I was in law school, and I would visit him regularly when I was in town. And I came in one day, and the hospital was in tumult because in every waiting area there were encampments of people whom I recognized. And it was easier 45 years ago in the United States. I recognized them as gypsies or Roma. And I quickly divined that the leader of the Roma community, the so-called Gypsy King or Mauro Rome big man, was near death. And the hospital, as I said, they were upset because there were acts of petty theft taking place. Finally, I came in one day. The waiting rooms were empty. This was 45 years ago when you could still smoke in the hospital. And not only were the Roma all gone, but so were all of the ashtrays. And my response was an odd one, which was to say to myself, there is something about the value system of these people that I don't understand. Because most of us would say, I know I'm going to have to come back to the hospital someday, either for myself or a child. I don't want to make myself unwelcome in a place like a hospital. But clearly the Roma thinking didn't go that way. And I didn't know whether it was antagonism toward the majority, so that, if you get the opportunity to take something, then take it, or, whether they were time-bound. It was obviously a very different purchase on being in the world than what, those of us raised in Western traditions would have.
Well, and it's interesting. One of the aspects of this book that's really pretty interesting is the nuances of how your protagonist, Bill Ten Boom, views the Roma, who have been through a lot over time, but he recognizes as the story plays out that it isn't as simple as there being good guys and bad guys when it comes to the Roma.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't want to pretend that there are not some very difficult cross-cultural issues, because there are. I don't think the majority is required. The majority culture is required to change its values to accommodate minority groups. So that, you know, because they have had such limited educational and employment opportunities, the level of criminality among the Roma in Europe is pretty high. They're the most imprisoned population in Europe. But you can't use that as an excuse to deprive them of education or employment either. So at least that's where my thinking ended up. And when you really become familiar with the history of oppression of the Roma people in Europe, it is staggering.
It's also interesting because the way the Roma are intertwined with the story seems almost like a microcosm of one of the major takeaways from this book, you know, without giving too much away, that especially when it comes to the Bosnian War, the idea of good guys and bad guys is kind of a false dichotomy as well.
I mean, look, if there's ever been a war fought in which all the right and good was on one side and all the wrong and evil was on the other, then I don't know what it is. Even if you take something that we classically think of as a war where the U.S. role was unambiguously good, which is, you know, World War II, it's still the case that there was inevitably a lot of conduct by the American troops in war that nobody would be putting in a training manual. And, you know, my dad came back with stories like that, and it's part of war, but you know, war does not turn anyone into a nicer person. Certainly not at the time.
What were the complexities? Because the Bosnian War was an especially complicated one. Was it a complex task even for someone who is, you know, used to plotting complex fiction, in taking the sort of real life framework of the Bosnian War and its aftermath and turning it into something that, you know, became a page turner?
There were two levels. The first was my own shock at myself, because I, of course, been a sentient adult from 1992 to 1995 when the Bosnian portion of the Balkan Wars were being fought. And I was astounded that, you know, as someone who was raised in a almost entirely Jewish neighborhood where the shadow of the Holocaust was never far away, that I had been so blind to what was happening in Bosnia. Ultimately, you know, for me as a novelist and a thriller writer, the significance of the Bosnian War was really the counterpoint between justice in the aftermath and trying to reestablish civilization, you know, the horrors of the war. And, you know, it's as if war is on one side and law is on the other. And as one of the characters says near the end of the book, you know, justice is good in and of itself, because no society can continue without a sense that wrongs are going to be made right, at least in the sense that they're going to be punished. So while sussing out the truth is no easy matter in the aftermath of a war, you know, the fact is that there were people like me who read the newspapers every day who didn't even know what was happening when it was going on, let alone a decade afterwards. But the moral complexities, at least for somebody like me who likes to write about those kinds of knotty ethical and moral problems, you know, you can't do much better than war and justice in the aftermath.
Well, and you created a fictional Serb leader who, you know, on his face is really kind of the epitome of evil. And I wonder how hard it was to write that character. And first of all, kind of get into the mind of someone like that. And at the same time, make him more than just a cartoon evil figure.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a chapter in the novel, In Testimony, without giving too much away, when this monster of history, a leader of the Bosnian Serb community, is confronted by the narrator, the lawyer Bill Tenbrun. And there was just one of those scenes that when I sat down to write it, it seemed like I'd been prepared to write it for many years. And I think at some level, as both a prosecutor and a defense lawyer, I have spent a lot of time wondering how people who are responsible for really mass crime can possibly explain this to themselves. Certainly, it was not hard writing, and I know many readers have told me that it's a pretty gripping scene, and it was certainly, I had the sense as I was writing it that it certainly had a kind of dramatic gravity, and it felt like a kind of accuracy, at least within the framework of a novel.
Well, I will say, if you can read that scene without your blood pressure increasing substantially, there's probably something wrong with you.
Well, I don't like to say it was fun to write. Subjects under discussion are not terribly entertaining, but the fact that this character was emerging with his own unapologetic point of view was something that I thought was, as I say, accurate at least within the rules of the novel. As it happens, I've heard from Radovan Karadzic's lawyer, Peter Robinson, and he thought it was pretty good too. And I got another letter last week from another of the lawyers at one of the international criminal tribunals in The Hague, and he said you nailed it. So I guess my research paid off.
Well, and at some level, this is why you're a writer, to try to figure these guys out.
I think that's a really astute observation, and that at least for somebody like me, who's always fascinated in this intersection of the personal and the legal and the moral. You're right. One of the things that keeps me writing, as well as reading, but writing in particular, is to figure out what the internal life is like of someone like, you know, the character who in testimony is called Lazakayevich.
So you've done a number of onstage conversations about testimony in recent weeks. I'm just curious whether there have been any surprises in what you've heard from people, what they have taken from this book.
One of the things that's interesting to me is that I'm very happy I wrote this book. It embraces a lot of different themes, you know, international justice and war crime, certainly, you know, middle-aged angst and the plight of the Roma. And, you know, to me, it's a coherent whole. But that means there are a lot of different things in the novel that people can react to. And so at times I'm asked about the character's sex lives. At times I'm asked about questions like the one you were asking about, you know, coming to terms with really great evil. I've heard from the Dutch community, because the novel is set for the most part in The Hague, in the Netherlands. And I guess I'm really, one of the things that's pleased me the most is the diversity of the responses, ranging from even reviews who say, USA Today said this is a great book for your beach bag, whereas, you know, the New York Times reviewed it as, you know, what they called an important and admirable novel. And I've always wanted to be able to sort of hit the water level that's right for each individual reader. And there's something about testimony that does seem to provoke that diversity of responses.
Well, I am very much looking forward to continuing our conversation this weekend. But let me just say, Scott Turow, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Mitch.
Writer Scott Turow's latest novel is called Testimony. He'll talk about it at a Boswell Book Company event that Mitch will moderate at the Samson Jewish Community Center in Whitefish Bay on Sunday. You can find a link to more information from WUWM.com.